Marshall County, Kentucky. Today's date is April 19th, 1983. Are you agreeable to being interviewed on tape?
Sure.
Just to make sure that my records are correct, would you spell your full name, please?
Mary Green Gordon. GRINVILL, but I was a turner before I had come out.
And your husband's name is?
Carmen Lee Gordon.
What is that?
CARMILLWGORDON.
What was your occupation, Mary?
You mean when I...
Did you ever work outside?
Oh, yes. I married in 32 during the Depression. And, I mean, we did. And so I worked at the hosiery mill here in Kentucky. I worked 15 years. And I married in 32, and I was, when I'd been married 8 years, I had a little girl.
And what was her
name? Nancy Gordon. And so I wanted to go ahead working with my husband and let me, but Darley, he baby with somebody else to work at. He said, no, you can take care of this baby.
That's amazing.
So I quit work at that time, and so she's 40 years old. She's 19 and 40. And she has two boys. He was carpenter.
Yeah.
And it's the dam. He took it up the dam.
Have you always lived here in Vietnam?
No, I've lived in Marshall County all my life. I moved to Benham after my husband passed away. We lived down on the lake. And he passed away. He had cancer and passed away, so I moved to Benham.
Did you have a farm?
Yeah, we had a farm. Chickens and hogs and pigs and everything else. And those were farming.
The whole country?
Yes, we had. Oh, we just had everything.
Well, that's
but I had to sell all that and get rid of all of it, you know, because I couldn't see the dollars. And I just sold the place.
So you've been here how long?
I've been here. The city's been dead 16 years. Well, now, my father died with heart attack, and then I kept my mother. She had a stroke, and she couldn't talk. And I was the only one that could understand what she wanted, you know. And so I kept her for, let me see, how many years? I kept her. I guess I kept her seven years. And so she was 91. She died. I just kept on living after she passed away.
You kept her here?
Uh-huh, in this house. Well, she died in the hospital. But she was... Okay, I'll start again. So she had a heart attack, you know, and... Oh, she had a heart attack, so I carried her into the hospital. Her doctor said bring her to the hospital. So she just lived a day and a night. Of course, she was just too old, you know, she couldn't overcome it. So Dr. King here in Benham was her doctor. And he said to me, he says, well, I'm going to bring her out of it. And I said, no, you won't, because she's too old. So that was... well, it was just had to be that way.
That's right.
So
it comes to us all.
Oh, sure. But I thought to myself, well, I'll never live to be 91.
Oh, you might.
But my mother didn't worry about nothing. Mm-hmm. and she was satisfied here with me, and she was sweet. So she used to do a drawing work, and so she taught me how. And she taught me how to briar stitch, and she taught me how to sew. And she just taught me a lot about sewing, you know.
Well, that's wonderful.
Even when I was a little girl, you know, I'd watch her, and so she would always tell me how to do it. She says, now take pains and don't make any mess of it. So I just inherited it, mostly, you know, from her.
Well, you learned at her knee, so to speak.
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, that's wonderful.
But before I had ever made a garment, well, I could make a suit. I knowed how to put that old, like they made long time, you know, those old gathered in sleeves and all that extra stuff that they put inside here, you know, and all that old stiffening and those tucks and all that stuff. Well, I could sit down and made one just by my imagination. I wouldn't have to have anything. I could have made one. Well, so that my cousin out in the country, she said, I want you to make me a suit. And I said, well, I ain't afraid to tackle it. So I just tackle anything and always come out.
Well, that's
all
great.
Right. Uh-huh.
Tell me a little bit more about your parents, Mary.
Well,
did you live in the country growing up?
Uh-huh, we lived on a farm. Mm-hmm. We lived on a farm. And I have done everything on the farm. You know, I'd go to the field and help my brothers and sisters. We'd all go to the field. We'd have to hold a bagger, and we'd have to cut and hang it, and we'd strip it. And we just had a ball in the farm. We had wheat, and we'd have to help them shock the wheat. And I don't know, we'd just done anything that there was to do. Milk a cow. I could milk a cow when I was just little tiny. I'd milk a cow, but I was always afraid to ride a horse.
Really?
I'd get up on that horse and I'd think, oh, I'm so tall, I can't take this. I got down off the horse. I couldn't ride a horse. But I could plow one. I could plow.
Follow the horse.
I could
plow.
The plow. Uh-huh. But I couldn't gear one up and get him fastened to the plow, you know, in order to plow. But
how many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had four brothers and two sisters. There were seven of us children, and I'm the oldest girl.
Well,
I had one brother older than me, and they're all gone, but three girls, and I've got two sisters and one brother living.
Did your father always work on the farm, or did
he worked on the farm. Uh-huh. He was a farmer. And also, he did work in some timber, too. He cut logs, and he bought a track of timber and cut that off and hauled it to the sawmill and sold it and had it sawed up into lumber, you know. He done that outside his farming, you know, in the falls when his work was done.
I think most farmers in this area did some logging.
Uh-huh, my daddy was, he could go out and tell anyone how much timber there was in a tree. How many feet they could get out of that tree, and he used to do that for other people, you know, the other people that was in the lumber business. They'd want him to go with them and show them how much if they bought a track of timber. They wanted him to go with them and show them how many feet, you know, that they could get out of that tree. You know,
that takes some experience.
Yes, it does. And he worked in that. He worked in that for all of his life, and he'd made ties. I know when old Birmingham was down here, why, we lived over here in the country, and we owned a farm over there, he did, and he cut the timber off of it, and he made ties and hauled them to Birmingham on a wagon with mules hitched to it.
Birmingham, Alabama?
Birmingham, Kentucky, here under the lakes over it now. There's no Birmingham there. See, the TVA took that all over, and the water turned in there, and there's not no Birmingham there. But that's where he carried the ties and sold them. And he'd carry them every fall to buy our shoes, wear winter shoes for the seven children. That was just, you know, real funny, you know, to think about it. And I know one time my mother said, well, your daddy can buy better. He was to buy better for the children than she could, you know. He'd buy print for making me a dress, And Mammy says, well, he can pick out print prettier than I can, so I'll just let him do it. And he'd buy us toboggans, you know, to wear on our heads to school. And he'd always get us a pretty toboggan. We was always glad whenever he went shopping because he'd give more for our things than our mother would because she's kind of tight, you know. But anyway, we was always glad when her daddy went shopping for us, you know.
Well, that's interesting. That really is. You've already told me about your mother teaching you how to sew and do drawing work. Did she quilt also?
She had a little quilt. It was a little nine pad. I mean, a trip around the world, as you call it. And the squares wasn't a bit bigger than that.
About an inch.
Oh no, there wasn't an inch.
Half an inch.
I say half an inch after they were sewed together.
Oh my.
And she had that pieced all over the bed when she was 5 years old. And her mother was a seamstress also, and so was my mother, was a seamstress.
You come from a long line of needlewomen.
Yes, I did, uh-huh. And worked buttonholes. I can make buttonholes with a needle and a thread. It's as pretty as you ever seen. I'll show them to you directly.
Okay.
And so they used to make those bound buttonholes, and I've made those. But I like them worked with your fingers, not on a machine.
They're prettier.
Mm-hmm, they are. They're prettier.
Mm-hmm. Mary, tell me, when you were on the farm as a girl, did you go to school?
Yes, we went to school. Mm-hmm. I went to a little country school, Clark School.
Was that a one-room
school? A one-room school, uh-huh, and had to walk.
How far did you have to walk?
Oh, I guess three-quarters of a mile.
That wasn't too bad.
It
could have been worse.
Yeah, uh-huh. I went rain or shine, hot or cold, in the snow, you know, and had to walk in the cold. And when we'd get to school, they'd have a great big old coal stove right in the center of the school, and it'd take it till dinner to get the room warm. And we'd all gang up around this stove, you know. They'd let us get up close to the stove, you know, and with our books, and we'd just all sit two or three on one seat bench, you know, seat or rather. They were long, you know, benches like, wasn't like we have today.
Yeah.
They were long seats. Two'd sit together or three. And so we'd all get up around there and our feet would be so cold and wet part of the time. I can just look back and we had an old cistern and had a bucket and dippers, you know, everybody drank out of the, had two dippers, and everybody drank out the same dipper. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't do that now at all.
No.
Or I wouldn't want to.
They'd cringe.
Oh, yeah. And we never was sick. Never had a doctor with me till I was 16 years old. And my mother, we never did have a doctor with us because she doctored us herself. You know, she knew how to doctor us. So she'd make us wrap up. She never did let us get out and take the weather without in something on, you know, just run around without any coats or caps or things. Gloves. So.
Did she use herbs in doctoring you?
Well, no. She just had a healthy bunch of children. They
she
were all healthy.
Lucky.
She my I had a my daddy was a big stout was a big stout man, and my mother was always healthy, and so the children were always healthy. She had healthy children, and I know when we'd have a sore throat, she didn't run to the doctor and get us a penicillin shot or something like this and that and the other. She would rub turpentine on our tonsils, you know, here on her neck, and put a cloth around us, you know, and it was well in no time. And I told my daughter, her children always had a sore throat, and I said, if you'd put some turpentine on them, they wouldn't have to take half as much old penicillin and all this old mycin, whatever you take for kill out infections, you know. And that's not good for you, take so much of that stuff.
Well, that's very true.
So.
How old are you, Mary?
I'll be 71 the 20th of April, born 1912.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I can remember when I was 3 years old.
Bless your heart. You're a wealth of information, aren't you? And when you left the one-room schoolhouse, did you go on to high school?
No, I didn't go on to high school. We moved from there over, and I went to Gilbertsville. I was in eighth grade. I quit school.
How come you to go to Gilbertsville?
Well, my father sold the farm, and we moved to Butlin down there. He moved down there to Gilbertsville. And I went to Gilbertsville school, in the old school. Before Gilbertsville was ever destroyed, that was old town, you know. Gilbertsville was an old town.
That was flooded also, wasn't
Was
your family a religious one?
Yes, my daddy was a Baptist, my mother was a Methodist. And my grandparents were Methodist on my mother's side. My grandfather was Methodist. And my grandfather Turner, I think he was what they call the old Christian church years ago, you know. And my grandmother on my daddy's side.
Mm-hmm. When did you learn to quilt, Mary?
Well,
do you remember?
I don't hardly remember when I learned to quilt. But I pieced quilts. I'm not a very good quilter.
Well, piecing is important too. You can't quilt it unless
you know,
pieced it first.
But I can. I was more of a seamstress than I was a quilter.
Mm-hmm.
But I pieced quilts, and my mother learned me how to make those. They used to make those quilts like that one laying there. They made those out of velvet strips and the bra stitches all between
quilt.
And that. But see, I didn't have any velvet. They don't have any velvet nowadays. You use those bonded, that's double knit, but I don't think it's too pretty.
Not like the velvet silks used to be.
They used to make all kinds of stitches, you know. Yeah, they had the, what they call the crow's foot, and then they had all kinds of different kinds of stitches that they put on those velvet things, and they were beautiful. And they put little flowers, you know, on them, and I remember that of my mother's. And I remember the old hats that she wore with plumes on them. And after my grandmother Roberts died, my grandfather Roberts remarried. And so I had my mother had one sister named Dana Roberts. Well, they went to Texas, and my grandmother Roberts died out there in Texas, and they brought her back here to bury. So my Aunt Dana and my mother and my grandfather Roberts lived with my grandfather Henson. That was Grandmother Roberts' mother and daddy. And they had an old log house, two-room log house, and an upstairs. And they lived with them till ever my mother and my Aunt Dana married. So they had an old upstairs, and they had their old clothes that they used to wear back when they was courting, you know. They had all those old-timey hats, you know, and all those old-timey dresses and things. They had them upstairs. They had discarded them, you know, and they had them hanging up there. I remember going up there when I was small, you know, and I just worshiped those old hats and those plumes and all those old timey clothes. You know, I just loved them.
Did you play dress up?
Oh, sure. And they had an umbrella. They had umbrellas hanging up there. My mother had a red one. And Aunt Dana had, I believe it was a navy blue. And so they just left them hanging up there. So we got them down. We played with them, you know, after they was through with them. And I remember that old, all of that stuff. And ever since I've been a child, I've loved such as that, you know.
I can tell that it brings back fond memories.
Yes,
for you.
It does.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, tell me about the first quilt that you pieced.
Well, the first quilt I pieced, it was a flower garden. And I set it together with diamonds, little diamonds, and little half diamonds. Instead of putting the other, like the flower garden was pieced around it, I set it together with the little green diamonds and the little half ones, you know, in the corners. Mm-hmm. That's the way I set that together.
And how old were you when you made that?
Oh, that was after I married that I made that quilt, when I first married. And I had a quilting, and it took about seven of us about a week to quilt that quilt, because we went around every one of those little diamonds and those little half diamonds and then around the other, you know.
You said you had a quilting. You want to explain that to me?
Well, I had friends and neighbors that they wanted to help me quilt, and they'd come help me quilt every day. We quilt. I don't know how long we was on that quilt, but we was forever, and I said I'd never piece another one. Oh, gee. But then I learned then to crochet. I crocheted, and I made a lot of doilies, and after they went out of style, I give five away, but I wish to have them back because they're coming back. But I do have a lot of drawn work here that I want to show you.
I'd love to see it.
And,
let's finish talking about quilts, and then we'll go on to the drawn work. So you pretty much learned to sew and to piece at your mother's knee, didn't you? She did a lot of quilting, did she, or piecing?
Yeah, she pieced a lot and quilted a lot, yeah. And she could sew. She could just make anything as she wanted to make, you know. And so I just learned, you know, from her. And I don't know, it seemed like I was gifted of all of this, you know. Imagination, you know.
That's what it takes.
Imagination,
What other patterns did you make while you were learning, or your first quilts?
Oh, I made, I made a flower garden, as I talked about it a while ago, a flower garden. Then I made what they call an improved nine patch, and then a daisy quilt, and I don't think I ever pieced just a plain nine patch, but I had seen them, you know, pieced just a plain nine patch. But what I call a trip around the world is that that'll end there.
The small squares.
Mm-hmm. The square. Start in the middle with a square and just keep adding. You add one on each time till you get it, you turn it crosswise of the bed, and you lay it till you get it wide enough for your bed, then you go this way at the corners, filling out the corners till you get it square.
Right.
See, make it a quilt square. Mm-hmm.
Do you read any quilt magazines?
Yes, I do that, And I also piece by some magazines that I get those quilting magazines, and I, you know, look up patterns, and I've made that.
Is there any one in particular that you enjoy over another?
Oh, I like that Sister's Choice.
Mm-hmm.
And
I meant the magazine.
Oh, no, it's just a needlework book, you know, that I got. Magazine, showed the needlework.
What other patterns have you used? You said Sister's Choice. Did you take that out of one of the magazines?
Uh-huh, I took that out of the magazine, and I took the Shade of Night. I got that from a real old lady. It's a real old pattern. I never had seen it, you know, in anything. And she gave me the pattern of that, her daughter, out close to Brewer's. I was out there one day, and her mother had passed away, and she was fixing to have a sale, and she got this quilt pattern there. And she says, Mary, says you do a lot of quilting and a lot of work. I'm going to give you this pattern. I said, oh, I'm so proud of that, you know, and I brought it home, and I went to piecing it. And I just really enjoyed that. That was a pattern I had never seen before.
Do you follow the patterns exactly as you see them pictured, or do you change anything?
No, I don't change them. Fix them like they're supposed to be fixed. Mm-hmm. Now I'm appliquing one now.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's neat. I'll have to see that directly.
Yeah.
I
do a lot of applique, you know, on top. Mm-hmm. I love that.
What do you do with your quilts when they're all done?
Well, I sold some tops to one lady, but I forgot what pattern that was. And I give my daughter about 20.
So you
and I give my pastor, my church, one, and it was what they called a Texas Rose, I believe that's what the name of it was. I got the pattern from my friend, and I had a bedspread and pillow shams. So I was going to give it to the church and let them auction it off and put the money for the church. Well, they never did get ready, so one day I called him, and I said, well, I'll just give that to Brother Archer. So I just called him up and I said, I've got a gift for you. He said, well, I'm going to the hospital. I said, will you be up at 9 o'clock? And I said, yes, I'm going to set up. Will you come by? I've got something I want to give you.
Bless your heart.
So he come in here and I give him that quilt and he's, oh, he was the proudest thing that ever was. So I got the nicest little note from Sister Archer's about the little quilt. So, oh, she's, I mean, bedspread. It was a bedspread. And it was beautiful. It was all handworked, you know. I had appliqued it together, fixed the flare on the top.
You said you sold some of your quilts. How do you go about selling them?
I have never sold a real quilt, huh?
Just
the tops. The tops.
Well, how do you go about selling
them? Well, I sold you that one, you know, mm-hmm. for 30, wasn't it?
Right.
And I sold another applique top mm-hmm. for $50.
Do you just show them to people?
My neighbor across the street. No, I don't carry them no place. Okay. They just.
Well, that's what I wanted to know, if you had, like a cooperative.
They just come
by word of mouth, in other words, admiring your
beautiful
work.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start selling your tops?
Oh, it hasn't been long. Let's see, I say 2 months I sold them.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you've used your quilts and they start to get old, what do you do about it?
Well, I haven't had one to get old yet.
You haven't?
No, I'll give it away before it got old.
Okay. Have you ever entered a quilt in a show?
No, I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
I entered some pillowcases in the fair of drawn work, mm-hmm. and I won second prize.
I'm sure you were proud of that.
Yeah. And Nancy, my daughter, she belonged to the 4-H, and everything. So she learned to sew real young, and she made a pair of shardy pajamas, and she won first prize, and she got to go to the fair, the state fair.
Mm-hmm.
She won that to go to the state fair, and she's real good hand to sew too. Now she can sew, and she says I'm gonna learn, and I said, well, just there's the machine. And so she just got to cutting and making, and the first thing you know, she knows how to sideshow her house, she knows how to sew too. So she sews now for herself, makes her suits.
Well, that's splendid.
Uh-huh.
When would you say that you really started piecing then? Was it fairly recently? I know you pieced some as a young girl.
I started piecing right after I married mm-hmm. in 32.
Mm-hmm. And you pieced? Uh-huh. Pretty much all the
uh-huh.
time.
Uh-huh. All the time. Uh-huh.
How many quilts would you say you've made over the years?
Oh, jeepers. 40, 50, 150. Oh, let's see, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. Oh, I imagine around 100. Mm-hmm. I say 100. Mm-hmm.
Was there any time in your life when you were too busy to piece or to quilt?
No.
Mm-mm. You always made time.
Made time. Mostly in the wintertime. That's what I've done in the wintertime.
How much time would you say today that you spend piecing?
Quilts?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Honey, I wouldn't know.
A couple of hours a day or 4 or 5 hours a day?
All afternoon until night till 10 o'clock.
Is there a particular pattern that you like to do more than another one?
Well, yes. I like to piece one all over the bed where I can just sit and sew and don't have to break my thread. You know, like a trip around the world, like they call that.
Around
where I don't have to break thread. I don't like to break my thread so much. And I like to applique too. I like to applique.
Is there any particular pattern, or do you?
It don't matter. It's just any pattern.
Any pattern.
Uh-huh.
Do you prefer to use a different pattern each time you start a quilt?
Well, I've got one there that's got several different designs on it, and I think they're beautiful.
Like a sample.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But I have a I have one here that I've made. I want you to see it.
Sure.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, talk a little louder.
I'll tell you what, I had this one. And,
oh, this is beautiful.
So, I had it quilted on a quilting machine mm-hmm. over at Ledbetter, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
This lady over there that quilted real cheap. And I thought, well, I'll just get it carried over there. She quilted this in a leaf and a stroll mm-hmm. In here, you know, it's a leaf and the stroll is on the outside of the border.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mary, we're back in business.
Now here's the trip, what they call the trip around the world.
Oh, that's just beautiful.
And I put the solids to match the, you know,
to pick up the color of the
clarity squares and then the solid squares.
You'd mm-hmm. say these little squares are what, about an inch and a half?
An inch and a quarter.
Isn't that beautiful?
Then I pieced one like this right here, hon, and I just made it this large.
Uh-huh.
And then I had of course this red wasn't there. I set it together with the red. Then I pieced another square and sewed in here, and it was beautiful. I gave it to my grandson.
Uh-huh.
And
that's just gorgeous.
Well, I pieced several old-timey patterns, you know.
That was like what?
That was an old-fashioned. Well, I wouldn't know what you call it. I got it from an old lady. But it was a square like this right here, I told you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you set, you just pieced one square, then you set it together with the red. You piece another square like this all in here and sew onto this and make another square. Then you put red around that and you had to all those squares.
Oh, I see. Like multiple trip around
uh-huh.
the world
uh-huh.
but set together
uh-huh.
to make an overall
uh-huh.
quilt.
Square.
I see.
Uh-huh.
I see. I wasn't understanding before when you explained it to me. Yes.
And then this one.
I think isn't that called Many Trips Around the World or something like that?
It might be because it might be called Many Trips.
Yeah.
Just leave it laying there.
Okay.
And I want to show you this drawn work. Now my mother. This in Huntsville, Alabama for the pattern.
Is that gorgeous?
I think it was a flea market.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'll tell you what, now I can, this right here, I can do that, but that's worn out. And my mother done all of this kind of work.
Are these your handwork here?
No, I bought this because my mother done this kind, and she had this kind, but it worn out.
I see.
And I bought this in order to, you know, to show
mm-hmm.
everybody how it was done.
Have you been able to do this, or have
uh-huh,
you?
I can do that, uh-huh. I can do it all.
That's beautiful.
And my mother, she had a petticoat when she was a girl, young,
mm-hmm.
you know, before she ever married. And they wore white organdy dresses. And I've got a picture here of my mother I want you to see directly.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a petticoat made. And it had two widths in the skirt. And just had a band. And she made the petticoat. And she done all this drawn work from along here to the hem. And it was little tiny. She had pulled those. It was made like this, only it was tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And
she
had pulled and fixed that, and so many different different designs of this drawn work
mm-hmm.
was in that petticoat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was in an old trunk. Whenever I was small and. I was around 8 or 9 year old, and my sister was still younger. Well, we played in the playhouse, and we got that old petticoat out, and we wore that, you know, dressed up like old women, but playhouse. And oh, I'd give anything in this world if my mother hadn't let me have done that. And we left that laying out in the rain and in the mud, just wherever we pulled it off, that's where it laid, you know. And I thought, after that I thought, why in this world did she let us destroy that?
After all those hours,
there's no telling how long. There was two widths in that now, that drawn work that she worked around like, and there's some square she'd pulled, and she had made little tiny squares like that. She had a row like this, then she had a row of a different kind, another row and another row. It wasn't all the same kind.
Just beautiful.
Of work.
Isn't that gorgeous?
That she had in that, there's no money that I wouldn't give for that if I had it. I mean,
really?
No money that I'd take for that if I had that bag. For just for people to see, I had never seen, there's never anybody, I don't guess, has ever seen anything like that.
You wonder how many pieces such as that have just, you know, been destroyed or, you know.
And this right here, my mother could do this. She could do all of this.
Oh, my gracious. Mm-hmm.
She could do all of this.
That's
kind of work.
That's prettier than any kind of lace, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Now this here, you go in and under, over and under. And you push it down, turn around, come back, and go over, and you push that down, make those little flowers.
Isn't that gorgeous? Mm-hmm.
Ain't that dainty?
Beautiful. Just beautiful.
Now see, there's another pattern, another design here, too. Look at this.
Oh, my. Fantastic.
Now she could do all of this.
Just beautiful. Mm-hmm. Is this your work here, Mary?
No, honey, this is what I bought in Alabama.
Okay.
I bought this for a pattern.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to lose.
Right.
The pattern, see. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to learn my daughter how to do this. Mm-hmm. She said she wanted to learn.
Okay.
So I told her I would learn her. But now I guess this was a piano spread.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's made out of Indian head, it wasn't the Indian head domestic?
Yeah, Indian head cotton.
Indian head.
Yeah. Uh-huh,
that's what this is made of.
Yeah, it sure is.
No telling how old this is.
That's beautiful.
And I give $1 for all four of these pieces in Alabama. And my friend that was with me, she says, Mary says, what do you want with that? And I says, I want to show people. What they used to make.
It's a lost art. We're just about a lost art now,
I would imagine. I done a little old piece of this here the other day. But I made pillowcases and hem stitched. And I think this is a pretty little thing. This is a pretty little thing here.
That's
it's got
pretty.
A hole in it. It goes on the stand table like that. And this lady down here the other day, she said, Mary, I'd starch and iron that and put it up. And I said, oh, I don't want that old stuff all over the place. I think it's pretty. But I mean, you know, I love it on things if they used it, but they don't use it no more.
No, it's passing from popularity,
uh-huh.
Although it's coming back.
It is. But if it comes back, I'm going to make some of it. Now this little flower here, I don't know how they did that.
You'll figure it out.
I will. Uh-huh. I will. Look at this.
That's gorgeous. Back to quilts here for a minute. Is there a particular spot in your house that you prefer to do your piecing in?
In the living room.
In the living room. Watching TV?
Watching TV. Piece quilts.
What, in your opinion, makes a good top?
Uh-huh.
What makes, in your opinion, what makes a good top?
Well, I'll say the trip around the world. Makes a good top. Uh-huh.
Does the colors influence your choice?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I love the colors. Uh-huh. I love the
what
colors.
What kind of colors do you prefer to work with?
Well, I like to match them. I like them, you know, matched and things like that. Match my colors.
Do you like bright ones or do you like real soft colors?
I like bright ones.
Why do you like make the tops? What do you find satisfying in making?
Oh, I just like to use my hands, my fingers. Mm-hmm. I like to use my fingers in sewing. I just love a needle and thread. Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that you go to the home place and participate in quilting bees down there. Mm-hmm. Do you go to any other quilting bees?
No.
No, I don't. Have you ever been to a mm-hmm. quilting bee mm-hmm. before?
I haven't. Uh-huh.
How about a quilting party?
Well, I come over to yours, you know, over
yeah.
to the, there.
Yeah.
And that was the first one I've ever been at.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I'd ever quilt. I could quilt good enough, you know, to quilt on anything like that, but I did.
You just do beautifully. Have you ever heard of the term Kentucky quilt?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, there's one quilt that I'd love to know how to put together, and that's a Shade and Sunshine in the squares. Now, I've got a picture here of my great-grandmother and my great-granddaddy, and they had their pictures made. And some of the one was holding this old quilt top up behind them to have this picture made. I have looked at that, and I have tried to piece one, but I cannot get it together. I don't know how.
Would you show that to me?
I sure will. There's no telling how old that old picture is. And it's old. Long years ago, people didn't have pieces to piece. They just pieced with anything that they could get a hold of that they had to piece with. Now that's uh-huh. called a Shade and Sunshine. Now this is a dark and that's light.
Mm-hmm.
But to get it together, I don't know how. I've tried it and I broke that picture too.
You sure did. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm. And I can remember when I was a child, my mother had some Shade and Sunshine quilts
mm-hmm.
and they were beautiful. But see, they're worn out.
Yeah. Isn't that a shame?
That picture.
Beautiful quilts gone by the boards.
And there's just no telling. See, they just—they didn't have what we have today.
Right.
They just used what they could get, and then they just make their own patterns up. There wasn't no patterns; they just made up their own pattern. And I don't know how she got that together, but I pieced one here, and I tried to put it together, and I couldn't.
Wouldn't come out.
No, it wouldn't come out. Didn't come out right. But I have. Now I sold a fan quilt. It was beautiful. I sold that fan quilt. Oh yeah, I sold a fan quilt. Mm-hmm. What did I got for it? But a whole lot. It was, you know, it was fancy.
Mm-hmm.
Fancy quilt.
Well, you told me that you have some quilt magazines. Do you have any quilt books that you refer to get ideas?
Yes, I have. I have one. It's called Acorn, and I'm going to do, if I live long enough, if I ever get to go where I can find it, you put a strip. You have a brown strip, and you have a yellow orange strip. And you put those acorns on there, and you put the autumn leaf and the green for summer and the autumn for fall.
Oh, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And you put this acorn on there, and then you
is
get...
Is that an applique then?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Sorry. Uh-huh. And then you get your brown for your acorn, and you get the little brown and white check for the top of the acorn, you know. To make the
uh-huh.
make that little thing, you know, the cup that sits down on the
mm-hmm.
acorn. And then you put these strips together, and you put an acorn, and you put a leaf, and you put another acorn, and you put another leaf, you know. Like you put a yellow on your orange, you put your leaf on the autumn, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make one of those if I can ever go to Paducah. And you can't get the small brown white checked here. And I don't. This lady made one and put the great big brown and white checked, and it wasn't even pretty at all. I want the tiny, little tiny brown and white check for the top of that acre.
Mm-hmm. That'll be pretty. I can see where the larger would
mm-hmm.
be as attractive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have that pattern.
When you applique a quilt, do you lay it out on the bed first?
No, I just lay it on the table.
It?
On the table, and I have a pattern, and I cut my material out by the pattern, and then I make those squares, and I lay my rows on this white square, and I put the little buds in it, and the leaves, I put them underneath that and based them down, and the little buds are green with a little pink, you know, at the top.
Well, you do that. You applicate by the block then, and then put your blocks
together
for
so your my
cost.
Blocks together. I strip them together with whatever color that I always match my. I think blue and pink go. You know, the blue and the pink. I'm making a solid pink rose quilt now, and I'm going to set it together with blue and pink.
Pretty.
The square in the center will be pink, and then the long strip will be blue.
Over the years, has the materials you use changed any?
Well, yes, they have.
Uh-huh. You want to tell me about that?
We used to have gingham, and we had percale, and we had that indigo blue that you know that you have up there on that one, and they had all such as that. Well, now you can't get that anymore. They don't make that anymore. That's the reason I admire that old quilt that y'all have up there on the wall.
But what kind of materials do you use now?
Well, we just use print, you know, just cotton prints.
The cotton.
Cotton prints. Mm-hmm.
Did you go through a phase of using the double knits your quilts?
I don't like double knit for quilts.
Did you ever use it though to make a quilt?
I've used it to make that one, but I won't never make a crazy quilt. But I wouldn't use it for another one, huh? I don't like.
Tell
it.
Me why.
I just don't like it. I don't even like the dresses made out of it.
Okay. So many people do make quilts out of it.
But I don't
I
like
just
it.
Wondered
I don't
if,
like double knit. Huh? I don't like double knit quilts. I do not. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever made up your own design in a quilt?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about it.
Well, you just sew scraps together till you get your block.
Mm-hmm.
And a string quilt.
Like a string quilt.
Uh-huh. You take it. It looks like a slice of pie, mm-hmm. you know. Well, the top part of it, you put a strip about an inch and a half wide. And you cut your paper, you know, like that. And then you sew your little strings crossways, all different kinds. And then you, when you get enough of those, you sew them together and make you a little block. Then you say, I've got one. I'll show it to you.
Okay.
And they're beautiful. And I pieced my two grandsons one of those. They thought that was the prettiest thing ever was. You have so many different colors in that quilt, you know. And they were just crazy about those quilts. Oh, they just had a fit over them. I said, well, honey, I just... Chrissy is over here the other day, and he said, Mimi, he said, you got to piece me another quilt like that one, said it's wearing out. they're beautiful.
I'm sure that over the years you have quilted.
Oh, yes, uh-huh, yeah, quilt. I have quilting hoops. Uh-huh,
that's what I was leading up to. How do you quilt?
I have hoops.
Frame?
Uh-huh, hoops.
Do you lay the remainder just on your lap?
Yeah, you put your when you baste your padding and your lining and your top together. Mm-hmm. I always get down in the floor and just forget. Then you start in the center of that quilt with your hoops, and you quilt to you, mm-hmm. you know. And then you start. You don't want to start at the edge and do that way. If you do, you just have it. Puckered. You have your linings all puckered up, you know. They won't be pretty. So you start in the center of the quilt with your hoop, and then you move it. You know, you baste it. I basted mine in, and then you move your hoop coming towards you. And then you can turn and go sideways. You know, you don't never want to start at the edge and go down and then another row like that. Yeah.
Have you ever used any other kind of...
Frames hang from the ceiling. You know, they used to have them hang from the ceiling.
Is that how your mother quilted?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They had screws in the ceiling, and they had the strings that they've tied to these quilting frames, and they'd swing, you know. Mm-hmm. And the ladies would all get around that quilt, you know. And they'd quilt in fans, you know. You'd take a piece of chalk and put a string on it so long, and you put it down here at the edge of your quilt, and you go around that way with it. Mm-hmm. Then you move your string on down here, and you start back up here at in the center of this fan, and come around in, and we just on around this way. Fans, uh-huh.
And at night, you pull the frame out of the way?
I would roll it up. They rolled it up at night. They'd take this roll around the ends of the frames, mm-hmm. and get it up out of the way where it wouldn't. And it had spiked nails, you know, they put in them holes. I had to get it up high to keep somebody from running into it, hurting the head.
Oh. Mary, do you sign your quilts when you're done?
No, I don't.
Do you put the date on this?
No, I don't. I hadn't thought of it.
Maybe you ought to. Somebody,
I'll have to go down to Nancy's and get some of them old ones I give her and put the date on them.
Uh-huh. Because someday somebody's going to want to know.
Want to know.
Who made that quilt,
who made
and,
that
who
quilt.
And when.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a favorite color when you go to choose a...
To make a quilt? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I don't have. Uh-uh. Mm-hmm. I think anything, any kind of a pretty pattern makes a pretty quilt, no matter what color you have. You have a pretty pattern.
Have you ever done a cross-stitch quilt? Or
no, I haven't. I don't like to do that. No. I don't like to do cross-stitching. But I like everything else but that.
But your preference is the applique.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the piecing.
Do you have a favorite applique pattern?
Yes. I think any kind of a flower. You know, that you can, any kind of flower you can put on a block, I think they're beautiful. Now I have Morning Glories on one of those, and just any kind of applique pattern, I think it's beautiful. But I don't like a whole lot of several different things on one block. I like one flower on one block and another kind on another. I don't like to put three or four different kinds of patterns on one block. You know what I mean? Because it's like a bunch of, like a bouquet.
Yeah.
It would be beautiful, I guess a bouquet would. But you would have to have so many tiny to make a bouquet. You'd have to, like, say this.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to have so many different colors and everything, but it would be beautiful to do that.
You prefer
and make the stems.
Uh-huh.
You could make a bouquet quilt would be beautiful. I might do that one time.
Have you ever known of any men that quilt or piece?
No, I don't. None in my family did. They always hated it. They come in and quilt pieces all over the place. They didn't like it.
My next question was, did they have any opinions about the ladies in the family quilting?
No. I know my uncle said to me one day, said, I'll tell you what, said he had never seen anybody as good with a needle as my mother.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like he was proud of
her. Uh-huh.
Well, I think that just about does it. I can't think of any more questions to ask you. I probably will think of many when I go to transcribe this, however.
Well, I don't know.
Was there anything, any particular story you wanted to tell me about quilt? Or?
No, I don't reckon that there is, hon.
How about a funny story, maybe, that you had happen to you while you were quilting, or?
No, I don't have any.
An interesting experience.
Oh, just a bunch of ladies sit around the quilt and have fun. And all quilt and have fun. We always had a lot of fun quilting, you know.
That's always been a real pleasant experience.
Uh-huh. Have fun. Uh-huh.
Well, thank you very much, Mary. Wilshire, and I'm talking with Mary Gordon here in Marshall County, Kentucky. Today's date is April the 19th. My name is Jolene Wilshire, and I'm talking with Mary Gordon here in Marshall County, Kentucky. This is April the 19th, 1983. Mary, you were going to tell me about your grandmother.
Yeah, my grandmother learned me to card bats out of cotton.
Mm-hmm.
To make quilts, and So I picked the cotton and picked the seeds out and then carded those bats, and you lay them on the top, you know, mm-hmm. and on your quilt when you start to make it, making your quilt. And there's something else I was going to say, and I forgot what it was.
Did you have to wash that cotton?
No, we didn't. We didn't wash it. We didn't wash it, huh? We didn't wash it. And so.
How far back ago was that?
Now that's been 65 years ago that I done that.
It's been a little while ago.
Been a little while ago, uh huh. And I picked the cotton and picked the seeds out, and then she learned me how to make those bats. And I loved that. You stacked them in a chair till you got enough for your quilts, you know, and then you laid them in.
And when you quilted your quilt, did you have to treat it in any special way?
No, we didn't treat it. We just laid those bats down mm-hmm. on that. And it talked about a pretty soft quilt. It made the pretty softest quilt, and it just, you know, in quilting it, you
was
could just.
Was it harder to quilt?
Oh, no, that? No. Uh-uh. See, there was, you know, the cotton that we used to buy had seeds in it. You know, it had come from the gin. It's, you know, the cotton you'd buy to put in the quilt, and they'd a lot rather had to pick by hand. There wouldn't been no seed, and it wasn't hard to quilt through. See that, you know, when the gin the cotton, that left a lot of seed in the cotton, so they'd make their own bats so they could quilt easier and better. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I don't know what all I have done and seen. I hate to waste the rest of that tape, girl.
No,
I didn't forget what I was going to say.
No, just go, as you know, think of different things.
Yeah,
just
well, yeah. Anyway, I can remember when all years, way back in my, my mother and daddy lived in one room. Log house in the side room whenever I was about 3 years old. And I can remember that. And my mother had took a box of face powder out of the Lee Arder book. And my brother, he was all mischief. He's always into something, you know. And my mother had to pack water from a spring. So while she'd gone to the spring to get a bucket of water, he said, "Come here, sissy," says, "I want to powder your face." Well, he got in her face powder, and when she come back, he had me all powdered up, you know, with that face powder. I can remember that, and I was just tiny.
Imagine your mother got quite upset.
Oh, yeah, she gave him a spanking when she got to the house. Well, anyway, and then I remember when it was popping popcorn, she was washing. She had an old sticking dirt chimney. And that she had a wash kettle in that fireplace, and she was boiling her clothes in there, and she was washing them in a tub and washboard there in the living room by the window. Just had one window in the house inside. So she popped us some popcorn, and we had a little red rocking chair each, and we were sitting in the rocking chairs eating that popcorn while she was rubbing on that rub board. And she went with the steward to that wash kettle to get her some hot water to pour in her tub, you know, where she's rubbing. And he jumped up and run under her arm, and she poured that hot water down his neck. And it's like to scalded him to death. I can remember that, and I wasn't very old.
Did he have scars?
Well, it didn't have too bad, huh? She doctored him up with something she had there to put on him. And I don't know. I can just remember further back, and I remember when my youngest sister was born. They was going to have to hire somebody to come and stay with my mother. I said, "Oh heck, I can tend to that baby," and I was only—I think I was about 14. She was born. I can tend to that baby, and I took. And mother helped her. I'd give her a bath while she's laying in bed, you know, by the side of my mother, and mother'd hold her. Hand afraid I would hurt her, you know, and I thought, "I ain't going to hurt her, and I'll give her a bath and put her clothes on," and that just thrilled me to death, you know, because
it's like having a baby doll.
Yeah, having a doll. She was the baby child, and the rest of them was boys in between me and her, see, and we just had a ball into that baby. And there's some old lady lived over there, and she come over there to help wash and do up the things, you know. And I went out, and she said, she had a stir full of water sitting in a wash kettle where she's boiling the clothes. And I said, "What you got that in there for?" She says, "Well, I'm warming up my rinse water." She says, "I have new rousy in my jaw," and I didn't know what new rousy meant. know, just. And I was going to tell about what my little brother done one time. He was all time wanting to be a veterinary. So we had an old cow, and she got out and stepped on one of Mother's little chickens. It was, oh, I don't know, it wasn't too small, but it was a pretty good sized little chicken. It wasn't big enough to fry, but it was between fry and size, and, you know. So the old cow stepped on it, mashed its entrails out one side, and it was laying out there just kicking and hollering. And he says, well, I'm going to fix that little chicken. So he come in the house, and he got him a needle with some black thread in it. And he went out there, and he had that little chicken down, and he sewed, pushed that little chicken's entrails back inside, and he sewed that little chicken up, and that little chicken got well.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. Mother says, my honey, you don't do that. And that little thing, well, oh, it was just hollering, see? Pitiful little thing. Oh, it just busted open. And it's the entrails hanging out. Well, he sewed that chicken up with black thread, and you know that chicken got well, made a big hen. we just done everything in the world. And then my other brother, I had a brother to go to service, William. And when he was a little boy, my daddy had a fence, a step went over the barbed wire fence, you know, where he wouldn't have to ride the fence down to go to the stable to milk. And he'd get, had a little tin cup there, and he'd go to that step and sit down and wait till my daddy come back from milking the cow of a night and morning. And he sat there, and he'd blow the foam back off of that bucket of milk and pour him out a cup full of that milk, and he'd drink it without even being strained, you know. And mother'd say, Billy says, don't do that child that way. He says he's drinking more hair. And he said, well, I'd load the foam back. There wasn't no hair in that milk. So he drank that milk, and he went into service in World War II. And they said he was the most perfect, healthiest guy they had ever examined for the war. Mm-hmm. And he stayed over there 4 years. He fought in the Philippines, uh-huh. In Japan, in Hawaii. He went there and took part of his training. And he went from there to Guadalcanal and the New Caledonia Islands, and he stayed there for a long time. And he's over there 4 years in infantry.
And he made it back.
He made it back, uh-huh. He made it back. But he died with a heart attack it's been about a year ago. He had retired from Detroit. He'd worked in Detroit, and he had retired there. And they come back up here in Tennessee and built him a new home. And they were just ready to move in that new home in 2 days. They were fixing to move in, and he took a heart attack, and it took him to Paris. And he got over it to some extent, and they let him come home. But he come home, and they had just got moved in their new home 2 days till he had another one and died.
Oh, gee.
Mm-hmm. He had worked all those years and put his children through school and is retired.
Right to the time where he can enjoy the fruits of his labor.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That's, oh gosh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's,
he died.
That's a shame.
Mm-hmm. It was. Mm. And he didn't have a friend in the world, and boy, he never met a stranger in his life. And all the time he was in the service, he took part of his training in Texas. And he'd just make friends with anybody and everybody, old people, young. And when he come home, he'd get letters. And the mailbox would be full of letters that he'd got from old people, old men and women that had written him, that he'd met in Texas and on and everywhere, you know, in the war. Well, mother saved them, you know, and put them up for him. And he'd come home at night, and mother'd say, well, you got another mailbox full of letters today. He says, throw them in the fire. I don't even want to read them. Says, I want to forget all about that. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't talk about it much. Only he said that when they left Hawaii, they went to the Japanese, you know, the
invasion?
Mm-hmm, okay. With the Japanese. He left Pearl Harbor and went to the, in the jungles, where he fought the Japanese, you know, in the jungles. And they was talking about these boys, you know, are getting killed, about bringing them back. You know, and he says, well, they couldn't bring them all back. He said that they went off of their ship in these big army trucks out from Hawaii to this island, and it was just a sand beach, you know. He said they put that ship up there, and they had to come off that, you know, on that sand, on that beach, in those trucks, and there was 18 truck loads of them. And he said, here come the Japs a bumming. And he was on, they got every truck but three, and he is on the third, on the back truck. He was on the third truck back. He got the truck next to him. And he said that it just blowed them boys' heads, and arms and legs were just laying everywhere all over that sand beach. And he said we had to get out and take those bags that they buried at sea. And he says we picked up hands and legs and arms and heads, and says we put every one of them boys in one bag and dug a hole right there in that sand. They had shovels on them trucks, and they dug a hole right there and buried all of them boys in one bag. On that, that's beautiful, isn't it? Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Is that any good on here?
Yes, that's...
And he says, if he had any children that ever got killed in the war, he didn't ever want them brought back, because he says they don't bring them back. He says it's impossible. Now he said, now it was impossible for their parents to get those boys back.
I was going to say, you often wonder, you know, they say, okay, they send your boy back.
Back, and you're not supposed to.
I wonder if that really and truly is.
They're not allowed to open them.
No. And you just wonder, is that really mine?
He says they don't. He said they didn't. He said that when one battle was over, that they just took a big old noser and they dug out a ditch. And he said he'd seen them bury them with their feet sticking out. He said they just lay them in rows in rotation in this big thing where they run that dozer, and he said then they push the dirt up over them. He said I've seen them push the dirt up over them and leave their feet sticking out, just row by row.
That's all.
Now he says, now you know, Mary, they can't bring them back. He said them people just spending a lot of money having them brought back, and they don't even know what they got.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. More than likely.
And I can remember World War I. I can remember when it ended.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We didn't have any, we had old wall telephones back then, you know, and somebody called Mother on the phone, said the war's ended. Everybody was just happy and shouting, you know, and they all come to Benton over here, and my daddy was off at work, and the neighbors down the road a piece, we had a wagon and spring seats, you know, and so Roy Henson was the one that they come and wanted to know, and so told Mother, said, you know, the war's over. Oh, well, Mother didn't know it to see till he come. I don't think we had a phone then, but we had had one, but we had moved in the house with my grandmother, and she didn't have one, my grandmother Henson. So she said, he wanted to borrow a spring seat to put on a wagon. It's all coming to Benton, and it was the 11th of November, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they, all that night they had a dance, you know, up here in the street. They had music and had a square dance up here. And we'd done that for years after that war, but they quit doing that. Every 11th of November, we'd have a square dance up here in the middle of the, up here in front of the Nelson's drug store, around the courthouse.
Well, that's a shame they stopped that.
Uh-huh. And I wanted to show you my mother's picture that was made in 1904.
Oh, I love
the big singing. Look right there in that drawer and bring me those albums and them little in that little drawer. Just bring them all three and I'll see which one it's in.
Well, there's only one.
Well, there's one somewhere in the oven, darling. Some over there in that one. It's in one of...
Yeah, there's two more.
I'll bring them in. It was made in 1904, I believe it said. I'm holding up the time. You want to shut that off?
No.
Do it.
No, that's all right.
See if I can find it right quick.
Oops. You don't have to hurry. I've got plenty of space.
Yeah, but I'm not going to talk much longer. Now, here we are. Right here. Now, that's the courthouse. I'm gonna talk. Turn it back on. Now this, if you could take mine.
Yeah.
Now this picture here was that's an old courthouse here in Benton. It burnt. Little George Slaughter set it afire and burned it up. And
what
sent
year
him
was
to the
that?
This was 1904. Is when this picture. Right there's my mother. When this picture was made.
Look at those.
And here, right here,
picture hats.
Uh huh. That's my mother's cousin there, and this is Lovett.
Mm-hmm.
I believe his name is Henry Clay Lovett, mm-hmm. right there. And here's Tom Jones that lived here in Benton, right there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's my grandmother Roberts, and there's my grandfather Roberts, and mm-hmm. there's Rube Harrison, and that was their friend.
Mm-hmm.
And now these was all made in, that was made in 1904.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
That was before the old, yeah. That was when the old courthouse was here.
Yeah.
Look at their buggy whips and their umbrellas mm-hmm. these men's mm-hmm. got. Picture.
And who is this lady?
That's
here?
My mother.
That's your mother.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
just
that's
lovely.
My mother. Well, I have some more here. I've got some more pictures here. Oh. Now, here is, there's my grandson. Here is, I'll show you some more over here. There she was.
She's beautiful.
And, see.
You kind of favor her, don't you?
Yeah, I look a lot like mm-hmm. her. They said my mother always was sad looking. Mm-hmm. But then I have my aunt.
I'd say serious, rather.
Yes, yeah, serious. And here she is after she uh-huh. got older. And let me see, I have some more. These are some I had made in North Carolina. I guess that's about, let's see what's over here. There's my dad and mother after they got mm-hmm. older. And now here's my brother that I told Cindy about being in World War II.
And this is you?
Uh-huh, that's me and my daughter mm-hmm. when she's young.
And this is your mother
uh-huh.
when she's old?
Yes, that's her when she's old. She's in her 90s when that.
That's the same table.
Uh-huh. I had it in my living room. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anywhere to put it, and I put it in the living room. And I'll see. I guess it's. But I just wanted you to see this old picture of the old courthouse.
That's neat.
Look at their old hats.
Mm-hmm. I love them.
Tom Jones, he was
1904, you said.
Uh-huh, resident. He was an old resident mm-hmm. of Benton, Kentucky. And some of these were out around Bryantsburg, but I don't know who they are. Somebody said that's Eula Carnes, and mm-hmm. I don't know these others.
The reason I was interested in this is we have a dress that we're going to show at Homemakers.
Now that's long. That's where mm-hmm. they wore them, uh-huh.
Well, we have a dress like this, and we weren't sure how old it was. And I said it was right around 1900, and the dress looks exactly like that. And we didn't know what sort of a hat to get for the girl to wear. Well, with.
See, now look right here at this hat.
And, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Well, we fixed her hair like this, and uh-huh. we couldn't decide on, and we thought, well, she wouldn't wear a hat.
See,
but the dress looks just like this. It's shaped just
yeah.
like this.
Well, now that's got two ruffles around mm-hmm. the bottom, see?
Well, this one does, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it has drawn work up here,
uh-huh.
and then embroidered,
mm-hmm.
satin embroidery.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm.
Now this, my mother looks like she's got a mm-hmm. blouse on. It looks like a morning glory with
mm-hmm.
that, and that's tied around there somewhere. And there's two.
It looks like a ruffle around.
Organdy,
her neck.
But look how little mm-hmm. they are around the waist. Look at those
they
hats.
They're just tiny. Look at the figures.
Yeah, they was tidy around the waist, uh-huh.
They sure
oh, they went tidy around
I
the
wonder,
waist.
I wonder, she probably had a cincher on or something to draw her in.
Ah, she sure did. And this mm-hmm. is her cousin. Her mm-hmm. hat's pretty, too.
Yeah,
but look
is.
At my mother's, how it goes up like that. Look at this
mm-hmm.
one. And there's Grandmother Roberts. She's got on one up in the back. And mm-hmm. here's my grandfather, Roberts. He had a mustache.
I see he did. Well, that's wonderful.
So I don't know what's in this one. If there's anything in here that would be interesting.
These your grandchildren?
Uh-huh. Now here's my husband and his brother when he was mm-hmm. small. Look at their knee pants. Their knee breeches and long socks.
Yes.
And then look at them ties around their neck.
Yes.
Looks like enough for two or three. Looks like a sage.
It's interesting to see the
uh-huh.
difference
mm-hmm.
in the fashion,
in the
you
fashions.
Know, or what's customary
yeah,
for youngsters
uh-huh.
to wear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's see. Now there's my grandfather, Father Roberts,
mm-hmm.
and there's my mother's sister, Aunt Dana,
mm-hmm.
and this is their cousin, and this is the grandfather had been married once before, and this is his,
yeah.
His wife, and that's Aunt Dana's boyfriend
mm-hmm.
there. She had been married once before. There they are.
Mm-hmm.
There she is. That's my husband and his dogs.
Was he a coon hunter?
Fox hunter.
Fox hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell a fox dog from a coon dog.
Now here's where I went to. That's made in the mm-hmm. Smokies.
Uh-huh.
It's an old crib, no log crib mm-hmm. where we went to. And we went in the Cade's Cove, you know, mm-hmm. through there. Mm-hmm. Well, I love it. I'd love to live there.
It's beautiful,
you've been there, haven't
it?
You?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And I'd love to go back.
And here's an old school group of my mother. And Lord, and the old people on there, that right here's my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And right here's my Aunt Dana. And let's see, it tells
school,
you,
yeah.
This is a Clark school. Let's see, and my grandfather Roberts was a school teacher, and he taught here one uh-huh. year. And this teacher's, this is an old picture mm-hmm. of the old Clark school, but I went to the same school, I guess. It was the same old schoolhouse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But here's a lot that did go. The Lord has been dead for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
All of these are done, all gone from here, died.
Well, that's...
So my grandfather, Robert, he taught there. And
uh-huh.
So the teacher died, or something got wrong, got sick, and they wanted my mother to come. And she was an excellent mm-hmm. scholar, because just laying down on her chair. They wanted her to come out there and teach. One year after this, after the teacher got sick, and I think she taught some. I don't remember, but her daddy was a school teacher, and she's real. She had a good education. So the girls that used to come to high school over here to Benton, they'd come to my mother with their novel books that they couldn't read, and they'd go into high school. My mother and everyone she called it the advanced class. You know, that was the highest they could go in a grade school. And they'd get their novels, and they'd bring them to my mother, and she'd read them. She could just read. She could just read anything. She didn't miss a word. She was a real good scholar. And they'd bring books for her to read that they couldn't even read, and them going to high school.
Well, that's
yes, it is. Uh-huh. So I went to the same school my mother went to.
Well, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Must be a nice feeling of continuity to...
Yeah.
Live in one place and know that your parents
yeah.
live there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we lived where my grandfather used to live, and we lived my mother aired part of her part of my grandfather Henson's place, mm-hmm. and it had a house on there that grandfather Roberts built, a two room house in the back porch and front porch. Well, my mother aired that after my grandfather died. She aired her part of that, and her sister got part of it. So we sold it. We didn't get much. I think it just only 6 acres in the house. And my father sold that and put that in on another place that we bought. Because it wasn't no land, it's 6 acres, and he wanted a farm. He didn't have enough to farm on. And that's where we live. But the old place is still out there, mm-hmm. and we go out there, and I've got a cousin that lives out there. And one of my cousins built a house where my grandfather Henson's old home place was. My cousin Robert Turner built his home, a new brick home there. An old cedar tree still standing there. It's been there for over hundreds of years.
But the old place.
And they lived there during the old Civil War. They lived there. My grandfather and grandmother Henson did. And she said that he had to ride a horse to mill, and he'd put his corn in a sack and throw it over his horse's back, and he had to ride way up the road. There wasn't no highways. It was just a little old dirt road to some kind of a mill to get it ground into meal. And she said she heard what they call the gorillas. I don't know what they were that come through, you know. And she said that my grandfather Henson, he had this corn, and she said she hid. She blowed the lamp out. Her head, it was nearly dark before he got back. And anyway, she blew the light out and hid. And she said that Grandfather Henson heard them horses coming, you know, and he was riding a mare that she'd nick her whenever she'd hear other horses' feet.
Mm-hmm.
So he drove her off in a poplar thicket with his meal, and said he'd just sit on that horse and jerked her bridle reins to keep her from nickering so they wouldn't take his meal away from him. And they went on by, and he went on home with his meal.
was a close call, wasn't
yes, it?
Yes,
it was. And she said, she said they had the cellars under their floors with doors that they put their stuff in, you know, and put a carpet or something down over it to keep them from coming and getting their meat and stuff. They had to eat.
Yeah, that's something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, it really is.
Must have been kind of neat in a way to live in that time, you know.
Yeah, uh-huh.
A whole lot different.
And there wasn't any stock law back then. See, they had their houses, they had their yards fenced in, but the stock run outside.
Mm-hmm.
So, one time my grandfather Henson had a bunch of hogs, Schultz, you know, and they had got out. And his half-brother lived just over the hill from him. And so these hogs, these Schultz got out, and they went down there and got in his half-brother's corn. And his boys is down there working, you know, and they run that hog. It was a gilt. And they'd run her with the dogs and got her hot, and she went in the creek and died. Instead of going and telling them that the hog was out, they run her, you know, and killed her. Well, they come to the house, and they told their daddy what they'd done. That was his half-brother. Just lived over down the hill from him. So Uncle William O said to Lee, said, "All right, Lee," says, "you've got a gilt down there," says, "you go get her and put a rope on her leg," and says, "you drive her up to Henry's," that Uncle Henry's, he called it, that was my father's grandfather's Uncle Henry Henson. Said, "you just take that shoulder up there and tell your Uncle Henry what you done, and you turn your gilt in his lock for him, you know." And he didn't want to, see. He'd killed his'n, but he didn't want to give his'n up. And so he said, I had to do what my daddy told me. Said, I carried it up there and said, "Uncle Henry's sitting on the porch." And said, I said, "Uncle Henry," said, "I run your gilt down there in the creek to in the field and got her hot, and she got in the creek and died. And my daddy told me I could have to give mine to you." And so he says, "Well, if that's what your daddy said, that's what you do." He said, "I never did like Uncle Henry anymore after that." Said he took my hog. But that's the way old people done back then, you know.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. My grandfather Henson was a hard shell Baptist, and they used to have foot washings. You know, they used to call it foot washings. That's what he was. He used to go to foot washings.
Did you ever go to?
No, but I remember him. I remember my great-grandfather, yes. Huh? Mm-hmm. We lived up to the side of him whenever, where my mother aired her part of her mother's place, you know. And we had an old sweet apple tree up there, and I was just small, and my brother had a little red wagon. He told us, he said, them old sweet apples fell off of that tree, and it wasn't fit for anything, you know. So he said, "Y'all just haul them down there and throw them over in the lot with my hogs, and I'll give you a penny a load." Well, we hauled apples all day, and he sat on the porch, and every time we'd go buy a load of apples, he'd give us a penny. That was fun running. I wouldn't do that now for a penny, would
no.
you?
No. But I guess back in those days, a penny was
Oh, there. Yeah. And I know my mother said one time when she was a young girl growing up, she said she wanted a fan. And they call them these open, shutting fans. She called them open, shutting fans. She told Grandpa Henson, she says, "I'd just give anything if I had me one of them open, shutting, and fans." That's this one right here.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave her a nickel, and she come to town, bought her a fan with a nickel.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. One of them open, shutting fans. I've got her picture made here with that fan.
Really?
Standing in front of the old home place with a wooden fence around it. Now, that's all I know to tell you, hon.
Okay.
Is that interesting?
Yes, it is. Very interesting.
There wasn't any stock law, you know. The stock run outside, and they had a wooden fences around the yard. My mother was standing out at the gate with this fan and the old wooden gate. She had that fan all opened up, you know, and she's standing there. And then my grandfather Henson, he walked. Now, that was been years ago. He walked from here, up here 5 miles out of Benham. He walked to Tatumsville and split rails for 50 cents a day and walked home.
5 miles?
From Tatumsville to, I guess it was, more than 5 miles, wasn't it, Tatum? He split rails for 50 cents a day, and he dug arse potatoes and bought all this bottom land down here between here and here 408. going out of Benham. On the right, he bought a lot of that land down in there for 50 cents an acre. And he dug Irish potatoes for some of it. Back then, land was cheap, wasn't it?
I guess so.
Yeah. My mother said he did. He dug.